Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Word of the Lord, my faith is extremely high, and I have had probably one of the best weeks in my life this past week, and I praise God for that. Blessings that came to this church, blessings that come to me, and I believe that this is a time not to huddle, not to hide, but this is a time to assert your faith. If you're living in fear because of a pandemic, that means all that talking you did was just talk. But praise God, if you are flourishing in times like this, it means your faith is unfeigned. It is real faith. Amen? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. John 16:23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In need of nothing is my subject. You may be seated. It's a wonderful verse. Every Christian at some point in time looks at this verse, quotes this verse, and claims it for their own. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here's a less known verse that is probably just as powerful. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. He's not saying that you will ask me nothing because you can't or because you don't have faith. Jesus is saying in that day you will ask me nothing because all of your needs have already been supplied. That's the day that we should be living in. As we see the day of the Lord approaching, my secretary Judy was telling me that in somewhere where she was, some Catholic lady said to her, she said, I've been Catholic all of my life. I've never owned a Bible, but I started watching during the pandemic some preacher and went and got me a Bible. And she said, we're really living in the last days, aren't we? This is really the last time. She began to read the Bible and find out this is the day the Bible talks about. But as we see the day of approaching, we should not be receiving less manifestation of God's blessing, but more of God's blessing. You see, God is doing his best to make his epistle seen and read of all men. And one of the outstanding pages of the epistle is your blessing is a witness to those that do not know God. And so it's not to God's advantage that you receive less and less as we get closer and closer, but it's to God's advantage to win the world and to those that yet are not believers that we receive more and more as we get closer and closer. Remember that. Not less and less as we get nearer, but more and more as we get closer. And so God's promises are very much yea and amen. God is doing what he said he would do. God is not only pouring out his spirit, but he is blessing us in tangible ways. And God wants to do that. Some people say, well, you know, I don't care about money. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. In other words, they eliminate all the tangible things that God wants to bless them in. And they say, I'm only concerned in the spiritual things. One reason why they like to do that, it's very difficult to be able to manifest the spiritual and see it, where it's a tangible thing. And so they can deceive themselves in thinking that they're living in a place they're not living. But friend, when you're talking about tangible things, there's no deception there. You're either sick or you're well. You're either broke or you're blessed. You're either prospering or you're in poverty. You're either overcoming or you're being overcome. There is no deception there. And so God's promises are yea and amen. I believe what God says in all the Bible. One of the three reasons why we do not receive the promises of God is, number one, we don't preach it. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm a saint of God. Friend, every saint of God is a preacher. When you voice your testimony, you're preaching. And so it is a responsibility to each one of us to do what Ezekiel did when God said, speak to the bones. There are things in your life that are dead you should be speaking life to. You say, well, I'm not sure. That's what we're talking about today. if there's a promise attached to it, you should believe it and say, God is going to make this dead thing live. God is going to make this dream come to pass. And so number one, one of the three reasons why we don't receive the promises of God, we simply don't preach it. And we certainly don't preach it in dead, dry denominational churches that are apologists and explain why God doesn't do these things anymore. Let me tell you, my God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a living God, and His miraculous powers are as available today to the believer as they were during the times of the apostles or the times of the prophets. And so, number one, we don't preach it. Number two, we don't believe it. Number three, we simply don't do it. There's always something attached for us to do. James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, biologically, said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so Paul gives us this great promise that God is going to supply our need. Jesus said the fulfillment of that is going to be so great, you won't even have to ask anything in that deed. But James reminds us that many people have not received it, and they will not receive anything, and he tells us why. Because they waver. Friend, faith cannot be a pulsating thing. It cannot be on and off. It can't be here today and gone tomorrow. You must have laser-like faith that simply does not change. Every day of your life, you have the same faith in God. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Malachi 3:10, I claim this verse for myself. I don't know, this is the most dismissed verse in the Bible, the most controversial verse in the Bible, and the most hated verse in the Bible, because those people that are full of faith, they hate this. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. They hate that. Friend, that's not my focus. My focus is this. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I remember as a young man looking at that verse and staggering at it. The Bible said about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God. I ask you today, what verse in the Bible, what promise in the Bible do you look at and just stagger and say, wow. I believe salvation, I believe the Holy Spirit, I believe, but there is a verse that I just can't wrap my mind around. I remember as a young man looking at this verse and staggering at it. It took time and maturity. It took experience and companionship with God for me to realize that, yes, this promise is not just for the Old Testament, but this promise is for the New Testament, and just not for the New Testament. It's for the 20th century, and now here we are in the 21st century, and I claim this promise as my own. What does that mean? There shall not be room enough to receive it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm living proof that God's promises are yea and amen. What a promise. Blessing beyond room. Have you ever been blessed beyond the point that you simply don't need anymore, that you can't need anymore? What does that mean? It means beyond meager. We're not living a life where it's just the meager things of God. It's beyond the daily bread. So many people are just pleased that they can have daily bread, and that's all they want. Not me. I am living in the place where Malachi said, you will literally be blessed to a place that there will not be room enough to receive it. And the Bible said in Genesis 41:49, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. There is a blessing that you can't even count. It gets so strong and so big. Friend, I want to tell you, when he said that he will pour you out a blessing that you are not able to contain, what does that mean? That means you don't live from paycheck to paycheck. That just means you don't write your bills on Wednesday and hold them till Thursday because you know you're going to get paid Friday, and if you made them, they will clear that way. That's blessings that you can contain. But the blessing that God said is literally where you have a savings account. Let me offend somebody and shock somebody to new faith. You are not living where God wants you to live if you don't have a savings account. Let me say that slowly. You are not living where God wants you to live if you don't have a savings account. If you're sweating at every paycheck and saying, man, I've run out of money before I run out of bills, you are not living where God wants you to live. Because I can tell you that the anxiety of being in bondage financially, it will zap your faith. It will strip you of anticipation. It will cause you to focus on your need and your lack rather than on God's ability. It will cause you to focus on your lack instead of your ministry, because every one of you, you know, the Bible does say the ministry of the saints, every one of you that are called, chosen, and faithful and saved have got a ministry. You say, well, I don't have a ministry. Oh, you might have a ministry. It might be an unfulfilled ministry, but God has assigned to you a ministry. And if you're sweating every paycheck and every Friday and you're living in lack, I can tell you're not focusing on your calling in life and what God puts you on this planet. God didn't put you here just to pay bills on Friday. God put you here to be His hands and His feet and His mouthpiece. God called you to be a soul winner and a miracle worker. Praise God. And you cannot do it if you are living in lack. If you have not seen the promise of God fulfilled in your life. But if you can get some abundance in your life, it takes all that pressure off. And you don't have to look at tangible things all the time. You can start looking at spiritual things. Every time you get down to pray, you don't have to pray for a car payment. You can pray for a lost soul. You can pray for a family member that's not yet saved. You can pray for a revival to break out at your job. You can pray for God to open a door that you can witness to people at a family reunion or some kind of a gathering at your school, because your mind is not focused on your lack and your need. That's what He said. He said, I'm going to pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. Well, that's beyond me, but it doesn't need to be beyond you, because that is the promise of God. God wants to take you beyond daily bread. Do not err, my brethren. James, the brother of Jesus, I love to say that, the brother of Jesus, he said this, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The promises of God are absolute. There is no variableness in God. There's no variableness in His word, no variableness in His promise. That means it never changes. So the variableness has to be on us and not on God. And so I'm constantly trying to take the variableness out of me, get laser-like faith to put my attention on the word of God and say, this promise is to me. Whether it's a tangible thing concerning money, whether it's a spiritual thing concerning salvation, whether it's a physical thing concerning healing, get your laser-like faith and say, that's absolutely true. Now, it has not yet manifested in my life, so that means there must be a variableness. My faith is pulsating. I've got to get laser-like faith and say, that's what God's Word has to say. Praise God. Hallelujah. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. We love that. And then there's a whole list of blessings there in Deuteronomy 28. And charismatics love that. But they forgot that it said, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You can put the promise on the refrigerator, but if the obedience is not in your heart, your promise is going to be as cold as the ice maker. It's simply not going to work. Not because there's a variableness in God's promise, but because we have not done our part. God wants to overflow you. Say, well, I've got better than I used to have, but not enough. Then you're not in the will of God. God wants you to have not just enough, but more than enough. God wants to overflow you. What are you talking about? I'm talking about in everything, from the joy of salvation to the health of your body, to the money in your bank. God wants to overflow you. It is proof that God is good and God is just, that there is no changeableness in Him, that there is no variable in Him, that He is good all the time. And there's proof of that in the Bible. We read about the widow of Zarephath when she was down to her last handful of meal, when she was down to the last few drops of oil in her cruse. But when she met God and was obedient to God, what happened? Not only did she have her need met for the day, but the Bible simply said that the barrel never ran out and the oil never failed. What was it? God overflowed her more than she could contain. Friend, you do not insult God, and God does not think you greedy by desiring more than you need. God wants you to anticipate that He is such a God of abundance that He is a God of overflow. God wants to bless you coming in and going out. God makes you want to make you the head, not the tail, not the one that brings up the end. God wants to make you the initiator of all good things. And so here was a woman that was totally destitute, and one day later, she now has an overflow, an abundance that simply is more than she can contain. The second story is the prophet's widow. She was so broke, they were going to repossess your children. Friend, when they're repossessing your kids, you're broke. It's one thing to repossess your couch and your car and your furniture, but when they start repossessing your kids, but the Bible said in 2 Kings that they literally came to take away her children and make them slaves. And when she met with the man of God, what happened? He gave her simple instruction to take that oil that she had and begin to pour it, not in just what she had, but borrow all the vessels that she could find. She borrowed all the vessels from all the neighbors that she could find, and the Bible said she just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring. What was it? It was more than she could use. And so the Bible ends this story this way, said, now pay all of your creditors and live, you and your children, on what you have left. That is literally more than you can contain. Let me tell somebody in this building that's broke, God wants to fix that. Somebody that's destitute, God wants to fix that. He's waiting for you to put your laser-like vision on His faith, on His word, and say, I believe that God is. Whatever God promised, He will bring to pass. It might be weird. It might be not natural. It might be strange to the carnal mind, but praise God, I'm not carnally minded. That is death. I'm spiritually minded. God makes a way where there is no way. God brings something out of nothing. God brings miracles out of mess. I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to start living like He's already done it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Brandon talked a little bit about it Wednesday night, but can I share with you a miracle that God brought to pass for this church this past week? A few weeks ago, several months ago, about 3 months ago, during the pandemic, a man came to me and he said, I want to put an electric billboard on the church property. And I said, well, the only place we can do that is way up on the hill, far away from the church. And he said, well, I'd like to do it. And I'm prepared to give the church a monthly offering of a few $100s. I said, we're not interested. I said, sir, we now have a cash surplus in our church. God is blessing us to that point. And so I'm not impressed with a few $100s a month. He said, what would you take? I said, if you'll write me a check for $200,000, we'll let you put that up there. And he just went away, and I never heard a word from him. And so suddenly I got the email this week. He said, I agree to all your terms. So he came and sat down with me and said, here's the contract. Would you sign right here? I said, sir, really, I've thought about that. $200,000 is not enough. I said, we're going to need $300,000. He just smiled, said, it's done. So he is giving the church a check for $300,000 for one sign. One sign. In the meanwhile, I am doing a real estate deal, and the gross for myself, and the gross on it was $1,250,000. The net profit was $500,000. That's not going to happen. That's already in the bank. One before that was $250,000. That was for the church. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you think about my preaching, but I'm going to tell you this. You've got a team of Pastor Brandon and Becky and Sean and my family. We're people of faith. And praise God, we want you to give. We want you to tithe because it's going to bless you. But if you don't give and you don't tithe, we're going to believe it in one way or another because this place is not going to be a reproach. This is going to be a house, a storehouse, where God is going to pour out his blessing on more than we can contain. And we're not going to have to beg you for a mortgage payment or a light bill. Friend, if you are in a church where they've got to get up and take a mortgage payment and a light bill, there's something wrong with the faith and greeting of that church, because we are serving a God that is a big God. We're serving a God that has the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the field, and he is a provider. And if you're living in a church that is constantly destitute, it's going to dribble down to you. You're going to live a destitute life. But I want to inspire you that what God is doing for this house, he wants to do in your house. You need to dream bigger. God will send it to you. Praise God. You say, well, I just got such and such a job. I'm telling you, my God is bigger than your job. He'll bless you on your job. He'll give you a promotion on your job. He'll give you raises on your job. But he will send men. That's what that man was when he walked into my office and said, I want to put a sign up there. He will send men to give unto your bosom. And you need to get your faith level up and say, God is going to make a way where there is no way. You're a single mother. Look at what God did in the Bible. And I think this ought to be an inspiration to every single mother and every widow in this room. Most of the great miracles that God did in the Bible were for single mothers and widows. Do you understand that? They say, why is that? Number one, he's a compassionate God. But number two, they had no other source. When you don't have any other source, you're on the very edge of a miracle. Some of you don't have any way if God don't make the way. And so you need to start praising God, because when it manifests in your life, you're not going to have to give glory to your mother-in-law or to your boss. You can say there was no way. But praise God, suddenly God showed up. He opened the door and made a way where there was no way. But friend, we've got to get to a place to where we simply do not waver. It doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. When times are tough, I'm going to trust God. Praise God. God worked for the widow of Nain. God worked for the Syrophoenician woman. God worked for the woman with the issue of blood. God worked for the woman taken in the act of adultery. There is a seemingly endless list in the Bible of single mothers and widows and people that were vulnerable that suddenly God poured them out a blessing that they could not contain. And I want to tell somebody in this building, this is a word for you. God's going to work a miracle. You've got a testimony coming down the road right now. And when it's all said and done, it ain't going to be Bobby Joe or Mary Lou that you have to give the praise. His name is going to be Jesus. Look what Jesus did in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wavering is the number one thief of blessing. On and off. Hot and cold. Coming to church a while, then laying out a while, developing a prayer life, and then stop praying. Reading the scripture a while, and then I got away from it. That's what people tell you. You know, I used to read, I got away from it. That's where your promise died. I used to have a prayer life, but I don't pray like it. That's where your promise died. I used to come to church every service, but I come now when I can. That's where your promise died. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there are lots of winds that blow against you that will cause you to waver. But if you will not succumb to that wind, but you will stand there with laser-like faith and say, hell, hit me with your best shot, pandemic, sickness, fired, I don't care what comes against me. My God is more than able. My God is more than willing. My God has all power. He has not changed. There is no variableness. He is the same yesterday and forever. Jesus told us about a man that built his house on the sand, and the first wind of adversity that came, he lost his house. But he told us about another man that built his house upon the rock, and the winds came, and he did not waver, and so his house was saved. Friend, I'm not going to let the winds of adversity affect my testimony. He is the same God in the time of pandemic as he was in the time of American prosperity. He is an amazing God. He is a good God. He's a God of the open window. He's a God of the open door. He's a God of the pouring out. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of salvation. He's a God of healing. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of everything that I can possibly need. He supplies my need according to his riches and glory. He will supply all of your need according to the abundance of your job. He will supply all of your need according to the goodwill of your family. That's not what it said. It said, according to his riches in glory. My blessing does not come from beneath. My blessing comes from above. Let me tell you what. Pandemics don't affect what's in heaven, and so it doesn't affect the fact that God will supply my need no matter what my need is. He is my God. He is my supplier. He is my friend. He is my abundance. He's in this church. He's in this house. He's in your life. He's in your house. You say, I ain't got nothing. Oh, yes, you do. Somewhere you got a pot of oil, and God is saying, borrow the vessels and borrow not a few, because I'm getting ready to multiply that oil more than you can contain. Get ready, get ready, get ready. The best is yet to come. So I'm not going to let the wind of adversity steal my anything, anything, anything I need. Praise God. I'm not going to let the waver at the wind. I'm not going to waver at the wind of false doctrine. The Bible said, be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they wait to deceive. Friend, I hear a lot of false doctrine being propagated on Christian television every week, but it has not changed me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm still preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, that he is the way and the only way. I'm not ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed that I believe in the gospel of Jesus and to believe that you have to be saved only by the blood of Jesus. I don't care what kind of winds of false doctrine. It's not going to make me waver. I've got laser-like vision on the word of God, and faith is manifesting in my life, and God is blessing me coming in and going out, and it ain't going to get nothing but better and bigger and stronger. Can you give God some praise in this house today? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If your truth is not absolute, you will waver. Well, I don't know. Oh, I know. I will not let heresy steal my anything. I will not let the waver at the wind of seduction. You know, the devil will attack you. He will call you names. He will hurt you. He will sabotage you. He will cause people to turn against you. He will cause family members to come against you. He will cause best friends to betray you, to try to get you to waver. And sometimes that works. It works on a lot of people. But it does not work on me. Let me reiterate a trap I've told you about before, but some of you might have forgotten and some of you have never heard it. When I came to San Antonio in 1975, to start this church, all hell came against Becky and myself. I literally was attacked by the devil in every way. Literally, by somebody put a bomb in our church to try to blow it off the face of the earth and kill us. The FBI got none of that fazed me. I was here to stay. I'd been here for 2 years in 1977. When a most precious couple that I know, they're both gone to heaven now. They were an older couple. He had been a multimillionaire electrical contractor in Michigan, and he had went through a divorce and lost all of that. We got him saved on the streets of Austin, Texas. He got saved and he married this wonderful saint of God in the Austin church, and she was just a truly saint of God. And so I needed lights in that first little building that we had and put new light fixtures in. And so he came down, and he had to work several weeks on that building to put new fixtures in it. And he charged me just $200 a week. That was all he wanted. He said, I'm not trying to get anything, just enough to meet my expenses. And so he would come and he'd work all day. And she would come with him. And she was a praying woman. She'd come in the sanctuary and you'd go walk in, you'd hear her praying. And you'd hear her just talking to the Lord. And I just loved her. And she loved me. She had been in my revivals in Austin for the last several years. And then one day she said, Brother Steve, I've got a message for you. You need to resign this church. And I never will forget her ministry. She said, your ministry is too big for this little church. She said, you're like a Pentecostal Billy Graham. You need to be heard around the world. And she was a wonderful saint of God. Just because somebody is saved and you admire them, you can't let them decide your destiny. God will speak to you, and God's voice to you will never be wrong. But some saint of God, or could I even say some preacher's voice, might be wrong. Because it doesn't mean as much to them as it does to you. It's your destiny. And every time I'd get down to pray, I would hear this dear voice saying, your ministry is too big for San Antonio and for this little church. And you know what I did? I got up within a few weeks and I resigned this church. And I left, and I was gone for about almost 2 years, 20-some months. And God blessed me when I was traveling for those 20-some months, but I was not in the perfect will of God. And I had bought a house in Silsbee, Texas, and I said, God, if I could sell this house, I would go back and fulfill the call to build a church in San Antonio. And when I said that, in 3 days, that house was sold, and I had the money in the bank, and I had a U-Haul packed, and I was headed back to San Antonio. What's the point? The point is I missed God for 20 years, for 20 months, Chris, not because the devil attacked me, but because the devil seduced me. He'd made me think that I was bigger than the will of God and bigger than the calling of God. How many people have we pastored in this church today have made shipwreck of their faith because they become exalted because somebody seduced them in the name of God and said, oh, you need to leave Living Way, and I'm going to do so-and-so with you. But if you look at their life today, it didn't come to fruition like somebody said it was going to. What was it? It was the wind of seduction. The Bible said about the Apostle Paul that he told them, you should not sail. When they're talking about the great storm of Euroclydon, said you shouldn't, but they said the soft wind blew softly, the south wind blew softly, and they supposed that they had obtained their message or their word. And so they loosed and they sailed into a storm. Friend, I'm going to tell you there's going to be a lot of soft winds in your life that are going to try to seduce you. But if you're not planning the will of God and the word of God, you will waver and you will miss the promise of God in your life. Well, I'm here to tell the devil, devil, you couldn't bomb me out. And devil, you couldn't scare me out. And devil, you can't seduce me out. I don't have to win the world. I just have to be faithful to what you told me to do. You told me to build this church on the freeway, and we built this church, and God has blessed us, and we have seen thousands of people saved, but we ain't seen nothing yet. Praise God, because the best is yet to come. My faith is stronger, and I say yea and amen to the promises of Almighty God. And I tell you this, we've been able to contain a lot of blessing, but there are blessings getting ready to come to you and to me and to Living Way Church that we literally will not be able to contain. The revival is going to be so strong, it's going to splash over into a Baptist church down the way somewhere. The blessings are going to be so strong, your family members are going to say, how come you're so blessed? Oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God is not only going to meet every need you have, you're going to get to a place where you're not living from hand to mouth and week to week and Friday to Friday, but God is going to bless you to where you're clothed in blessing. You're going to be blessed coming in and going out. You are going to be a signboard for the power of Almighty. Almighty God, this church is going to be blessed in such a way that they're going to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I can just get the living way, I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be healed, I'm going to be delivered, my need is going to be met. Ladies and gentlemen, I hear the sound of going in the mulberry tree. There's a revival coming. The best is yet to come. The blessings of God are getting bigger and expanding, praise God, even as we talk. God wants us to do that in Jesus' name. Oh, one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible is the first chapter or the first psalm. And it talks about that man, and he said he had ungodly counselors, he had sinners, he had ungodly, he had the scornful, but in all of that, he did not waver. He was like a tree planted by the water. I don't know who's trying to affect your life. It might be an ungodly counselor or advisor. It might be a sinner. It might be somebody that's scornful and making fun of you. But friend, if you will plant yourself in the Word of God and not waver at God's promise, God is going to do something in your life that you've never seen before. Lift your hands and give God some praise. God is saying he did not waver. He continued to delight himself day and night in the Word of God, in the Scripture. And because of that, the Bible said he continued to bear fruit. His leaf did not wither, and all that he did prospered. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that I'm not about to waver. I'm not afraid of a pandemic. I'm not afraid of a financial collapse. My God is bigger than a pandemic. He's bigger than a financial collapse. He's bigger than a political election. My God is God all by himself, and there is none like him. My eyes are fixed on the Word of God like a laser beam, and what God promised, he will perform. And ladies and gentlemen, get ready, get ready, get ready. The greatest thing that's ever happened in your life is about to happen, and you ought to start praising God for it right now. Would you stand on your feet and give God some praise? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The devil, if he can't stop you, he will make you adjust your vision. If the devil can't stop you, he'll make you lower your sights. If the devil can't stop you, he will make you minimize your expectation. But ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to do that. I'm looking at the promises of God, and they're mighty, mighty big. He said, more than you can contain. I won't spot check you. I won't just take one here and there and dribble out a little bit. He said, I'll pour it out. 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 Get ready. God is getting ready to do something in this church, in your life, in your house, in your family that you ain't never seen, and you need to start acting like it now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You need to get that feeling that's like said, God's already deposited my checking account. God's already healed my body. God's already told the doctors to reverse it. God's already done it, and I'm going to begin to praise God like he's done it. Somebody in this building right now, this is your moment to demand that your faith